Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to our St. Andrew's podcast. I am so glad that you've joined us today. I love getting to be with you this way, hoping that you're having a good week. It has been beautiful weather here in Oklahoma, which we don't get very often. So I hope if you're here in Oklahoma, you're enjoying that. I am so glad to be in studio with my really good friend and colleague, my pastor, D.A. Bennett. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. I'm having so much fun with this series and what we're doing. I think it's very helpful. At least it's helpful for me. I think it's helpful for you, and hopefully it's helpful for our listeners. And I guess if it's not, nobody's listening.
But we're having a good time.
We're having a good time. But no, it is a great time. It is such an unusual time.
Yes.
For our nation and really even the world and for the church and how we're doing that. And even in the midst of missing the fellowship and the face-to-face contact we have with people, I just truly, strongly believe God's doing a new thing.
Yeah,
and me too. And when I stop and think and I'm in the presence of the Lord or other people, it's exciting to think about what God is doing.
It really is. You are so right. And to be really seeking Him so that we can be going alongside Him in what He's doing, what a privilege to be a part of that.
Amen.
Just so awesome. So in this series, Name That Tune, we have been looking at different songs of our faith, really contemporary songs at this point, but we're probably going to bring in some hymns and songs of our faith that are a little bit older as well. But we've looked at Reckless Love the first week and Waymaker the second week. But this week, I'm excited about this particular tune. It's a very new tune to us, but the story behind it is really interesting. But D.A., why don't you tell us, what is the tune of the week?
I am so excited, and I want everybody to know that last week when we finished recording, we're like, okay, what song are we going to do next week? If y'all think we got it all together, we mostly have it together. By the time we record, it's all together. But we were sitting in worship this last Sunday, and the last song we sang, I remember looking at you saying, we need to do this for the podcast.
This
and you
song.
Were like, oh, this would be great. So, friends, if you listened to worship this past Sunday, we are doing our closing song today, and that is Raise a Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I love this song. Several months ago, I actually used this in a sermon sometime last year, I think, because the story behind the song is so extremely powerful.
Right.
And many of you know that I love to listen to Bethel worship songs. And so there are a couple of Bethel worship leaders called John David and Melissa Hessler. They're married. And Bethel likes to bring in a lot of different worship leaders. They're more of a cooperative. And so they have all these different leaders that come in, but they've got a guy named Joel Taylor, who is their kind of Bethel Music CEO. And he and his wife, they're young, they've got a couple of young kids. But one kind of Christmas time, a couple years ago, their youngest son, whose name is Jackson, was, I think, about 2 years old at the time. He started acting really lethargic and just was always a real active kid, but then just kind of was laying around on the ground. They could tell something was really, really wrong with him. They ended up taking him into the hospital and finding out that he had a life-threatening syndrome that had been caused by E. coli. So he had this E. coli infection. It moved into this terrible syndrome. And so he was in the hospital. And you can just imagine this helpless little 2-year-old boy. And I mean, you can look him up on, you know, YouTube. They've got a great video that kind of documents the story. But, you know, my heart just breaks when I think about
nothing is worse as a parent than when your kid is sick, particularly a smaller child.
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine how in that situation, even people of faith confront fear.
Oh, gosh.
And
the fear.
I cannot imagine what they were dealing with and even wanting to go to their church and say, you need to pray for our kid. And
Well, and he spent a period of weeks in the hospital, and their church was praying fervently. And if you know much about Bethel Church, I mean, those folks know how to pray. And the whole community of faith really gathered together to pray for him. But it got to the point where it was so bad that Joel and his wife reached out to their friends. And one couple was this couple, the Hesslers, reached out to them and said, you know, we're just not really sure that Jackson is even going to make it through the night. Yeah. So we need you all to pray. And John David Hessler said he got that message, and all of a sudden, I love hearing him tell the story because he said, out of my gut arose this song. Mm-hmm. And he starts singing it, and it's, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. And it goes on, and we'll look at each verse here in just a minute. But he said it just literally came out of him. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And God healed this boy.
Amen.
And yes,
that is
and
awesome.
He's fully recovered today and living a great life. And but I think that when the prayers that we offer come out often in song, they
right.
just because music tells stories that we can't tell just with words.
Right.
And God has given us that great gift in music. But as we look at the verses today, I want y'all to really allow the words to soak into your soul. Because, you know, when I think about songs that really come from heaven, I'm reminded of the story of Handel, who wrote the Hallelujah
Messiah,
Chorus
right.
and the Messiah, which are so many beautiful works put together. But in the Messiah, he has the Hallelujah Chorus, which is probably one of the best-known Christian songs. Because
yes.
anytime on a movie, like, something great happens, you hear the Hallelujah,
yeah, Hallelujah Chorus
because everybody's excited. But I'll never forget hearing my dad tell the story of how Handel heard heaven's angels singing that song, and he just
wow.
wrote it down. It wasn't something that came out of him. It was something that he heard that came from heaven. And, you know, it's just amazing when you think about that in relation to how God moves within us. We're
mm-hmm.
talking about this move of God that's happening, and things happen that are beyond anything we could explain or anything that we could fully understand without the grace of God. And I think this is one of those songs that comes like that. So, D.A., tell us about a little bit about the verses.
Okay, well, how about we do what we have done in some of the others? Let's go ahead and take that first stanza.
Yeah.
And we'll break it down verse by verse. But I have to say, when I think about this,
yeah.
there's just something in me that just, you know, I'm always joking. I'm always, you know, having fun.
Right.
And I grew up, my dad loves to play cards and family reunion. He's always playing poker with
oh,
his
yes.
friends. And if you have ever watched a World Series of poker, or if you
yes.
play poker, you know that when somebody bets, you can either call the bet, which is you bet
right.
the same amount, or you can raise them. And
yes.
so when I'm thinking of raising a hallelujah, it's like, all right, I'll take your praise of the Lord and I'll raise you
and
a hallelujah. So I just got to get that out of my system
gosh.
Before we go any farther.
That's awesome.
And in some ways, knowing this story, it's like, I see that sickness and I raise you a hallelujah.
Yes.
I mean, I think there's a good word. But the first stanza, four lines, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. Mm. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And that is actually
Ooh.
One of my favorite lyrics in
know,
the
I
song.
I love it.
I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. So, you know, I look at that one, in the presence of my enemies. Okay, so here's this family dealing with
mm-hmm.
all this pain, all this agony over their son
yeah.
who seems to be dying.
Yeah.
And doctors don't seem to be able to do anything. And
Mm-mm.
and no doubt, if he had been hospitalized for weeks, they'd been calling out to God for weeks.
Yeah.
And they probably just, I'm guessing, may have gotten to that place where they were at peace.
Yeah.
You know, God, you're going to do whatever you're going to do, and we're still going to believe in you, and we're
yeah.
still going to love you.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. one of the things that Scripture teaches is that death, and of course, death in that sense doesn't mean the physical death of somebody. It means separation from God.
Right.
But that death is the last enemy to be defeated. And so,
mm-hmm.
again, knowing that the Holy Spirit is just rising this up out
yeah.
of someone,
yeah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies.
Yeah.
Death is my enemy. Sickness is my enemy. Fear is my enemy.
Yeah.
All those things are my enemies. But because my feet are firmly planted on the rock of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. a sure foundation. I will raise a hallelujah in the middle of all that's going on, in the presence of my enemies. And so the other thought I have on this, and I'll be quiet because I could comment on all this
all
stuff.
I know.
Is,
I love it.
When we live our faith, it is one thing to profess our faith in the church,
right,
in the presence of our friends.
Yeah.
It's quite another to profess our faith in the presence of our enemies.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll stop there.
You are so right about that, though. You know, I love this second line, too, where it says, I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. And I got to go back to part of the story that I didn't tell earlier, and that is when John David said, when he got off the phone with his friend Joel, he said, I thought in my heart, we're not going to see the miracle. Jackson's going to die tonight. And he said it was as if this giant of unbelief stood in front of him.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, how many times, y'all who are listening, how many times have you felt that? Have you seen that giant of unbelief? How many times has the world or your situation, whatever it is, the enemy, whoever it is, looked at you and said, whatever God said is going to happen is not going to happen. And and you feel like it's so much bigger than you. And the thing is that unbelief is bigger than we are, but it's not bigger than God.
Right.
And that's why I love this whole song, because what they are saying is we are not going to focus on our own strength. We are going to raise up the strength of God. We're going to remember how strong and powerful and mighty our God is, and that is our weapon. That's how we fight.
I feel like you've been reading my notes because, you know, thinking about this, writing some notes about this, one of the things I said is we all struggle with unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care how long you've been following Jesus, there's some point or some practice of our faith where it's okay, I've got to stop. I've got to think about this.
Yeah.
Do I really believe this, or do I just say that this is what the Bible teaches, therefore,
right.
I mean, you know, because even though the Bible always teaches something, sometimes like, you know.
I know, right. We question.
We do.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening and you think, I have a lot of doubt, we all wrestle with those things.
Yeah.
But what I don't wrestle with is what God is able to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are times people will call here at the church or they email and they're like, wow, here's a problem, here's a struggle we're having, you know, somebody like this little boy who might be, it looks like they're going to die. And sometimes I'm like, wow, Lord, I don't even know how to pray about this.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's why I tend to ask people, if you're wanting me to pray, what do you want me to pray?
Right.
I don't want you praying that they pass peacefully and I'm praying God does a miracle.
Right,
because,
right.
You know,
we're going to be in agreement.
Yeah. What can I pray with you on?
Yeah.
But to get to the place, and I really think when we get to the place where it's just beyond our control.
Yeah.
I think it becomes an ultimate expression of faith to say, okay, God, you do whatever you're going to do.
Right.
You know, I'm still going to believe in you. Exactly.
Yes, uh-huh.
Exactly.
Well, and this idea too of, you know, my weapon is a melody, but then right after that, they followed up with the line, heaven comes to fight for me.
You are reading my notes because I've got these put together too. So, okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, but I love this because really God asks us to be warriors in the fight,
mm-hmm.
but he is the one, the battle belongs to him.
Right.
So we need to allow, in this song it says heaven, God, his hosts of angel armies, we need to allow them to fight the good fight for us. And, you know, when we praise God, when we lift God up and point to him and direct everybody's attention to him, this is my God and this is what he can do, then it opens the door for God to do what he can do. We're not supposed to do it for him. Like, we're not supposed to be God. We're not supposed to be the ones who are saving the world. He's already done that.
Right.
Our job is to lift him up, to direct the world to him. That's how we fight.
Right. And I think one of the reasons I love this is there is actually a good illustration of this from Scripture is from 2 Chronicles, you know, everybody's favorite go-to book in times of trouble. Go to Chronicles and read those endless lists
Everybody
of genealogies, and it will bless your soul. If you can read 1 and 2 Chronicles without falling asleep, you are a mighty warrior.
More power to you.
So, but in 2 Chronicles, and this is in chapter 20, if people want to go read it and check it out, King Jehoshaphat is the king over God's people, and they know that this massive army that has numbers far greater than the people of God's numbers to fight are there. And Jehoshaphat, because he was a good king and a man of faith, turns to the Lord and says, "Lord, we got to have your help.
Yeah,
you know what are we going to do?" And in the midst of that, the Lord says, "This is not your battle.
Yeah,
it's my battle.
Yeah."
And so what are we going to do? And so the night before the battle, the king and the priest and the people, they're in the temple having worship. And no doubt it is earnest intercessory prayer, "Lord, come help us, come save us, deliver us, protect us," all those things that we pray. And what the Lord instructs them to do is to say, before the soldiers get to the battle, I want you to send these other people because this is my battle. This is not your battle.
Not yours.
I'm going to fight it for you. And the people that sing are the people that go before the soldiers.
Yes.
And so what happens is here comes the people of God, and when the enemy sees them, they don't see shields and spears and bows and arrows and swords. What they see is a group of people praising the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And by the time the soldiers get to the battle, the enemy has started to fight each other and defeated each other. And it truly was a case of how praise becomes a weapon, how heaven comes and fights for us. And so when I sing this song, I'm like, "Oh yeah.
Yo,
come on." And okay, I'll stop.
No, keep going. That's good.
let's go to verse 2.
Okay,
let's go to verse 2.
Okay.
Again, four lines. "I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery," which is another one of my favorite lines.
I love that.
"And then I raise a hallelujah, fear, you lost your hold on me."
Yes.
All right, you go first. I'm going to sit back and soak it in for a while.
I'm just telling you, it is so good. You know, as we look at that, I'm reminded again of something we talked about last week where it says, "I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me." When we look at the commandment of God to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, when we break that down, we talked last week about loving him with all of our heart really means to love him with our will, to direct everything towards him and to choose him in that. To love him with our soul means everything that we are.
Right.
Like everything that makes us up, as me as Stephanie, you as DA, everything. There's not a piece of us that we leave out. But then when he says, "with all your strength," I heard this described by one of my seminary professors, that really what he's saying is, "with all of my very much." And I love that. I mean, we think about strength like power and strong, but really it's like the extra oomph. It's like saying, I'm going to do it with my will, with everything that I am, and then I put a little extra oomph in that.
Uh-huh.
And I love that because that's what they're saying. With everything inside of me, we're not holding anything back. And one of the things I feel like God is working in our hearts right now, for those of us that really are, the revival's happening in our hearts, it's starting there. One of the things I believe that he's showing us is that God is not supposed to be a part of our lives.
Right.
He is supposed to be our life. Like, he's the life giver.
Right.
And that's who he is. And when we lump him in with everything else that's important to us and he becomes a part of our lives, that is not what he wants for his people. And so when we place him in the place of honor that he deserves, the highest point of everything that we are, everything else seems to fall into place with that. But that's where it starts, is we praise him with everything and with our very much.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. I actually looked at it a little bit differently
and
trying to look at it in the context of the first verse is, but everything is one of those absolute words.
Yes.
never, you know, I never did that. Right. Well, maybe that one. Okay, never's an absolute worst. Uh-huh. If I never did it, I never did it.
Right.
Or you always, uh-huh. you know, well, maybe not all, you know.
Right.
And so when I say everything inside of me, mm-hmm. we tend to think, you know, all my heart, all my emotions, all my will.
Yes.
That's all there. But if I go back to the first verse, uh-huh. everything includes my unbelief.
Yes.
You know,
even that.
So I'm going to raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. Uh-huh. God, here I am, poured out for you.
Uh-huh.
The good, the bad,
yes.
the ugly. Everything inside of me is raising a hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And again, for those of you that may not know, we probably should have covered this. Sorry. The yeah. word hallelujah means praise the Lord.
Yes.
And so I'm raising my praise. I wish y'all if we were on TV, y'all think, man, this guy's crazy.
He's raising his hands.
I'm everything inside of me, because yeah. when I am truly connecting my life with uh-huh. God's presence, I'm getting chills saying this,
woo, woo.
With God's presence, God doesn't reject me and say,
yeah.
How about the good stuff and not the bad?
No.
No, God takes praise from every
yes.
part of us.
Ooh,
everything inside of me,
mm-hmm.
I will raise a hallelujah.
That's so good. And then as we go on, like, I mean, obviously the darkness fleeing, this whole idea of light and darkness and God lighting up the dark. But then if you move on to the middle of the mystery idea, I mean, it's kind of like what you were just saying, that even when we don't understand, we don't have to understand
mm-hmm.
it. We don't have to be able to wrap our head around it. We don't have to even know what God is going to do. You know, a lot of people think that faith is that we just believe that we know that God is going to do this. No, faith is saying, whatever you do,
right.
I'm going to trust you.
Right.
And so there's mystery there, and the mystery is kind of beautiful.
It's something that people in our culture, and I'm not just talking about the God-filled people in Oklahoma, but people, people in the United States that you know, our mm-hmm. our culture of as Americans,
yeah.
mystery's not something we're always comfortable
no.
with. We want solid, verifiable
mm-hmm.
fact, and it's hard for us to live with mystery.
Yeah.
And even in the United Methodist Church, our document on Holy Communion is called, you know, mm-hmm. this holy mystery. We just know the presence of Christ is there,
yeah.
but we don't fully understand it. Therefore, we can't even fully explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those places where, you know, we just did the series on the tough questions,
yeah.
faith, we can't explain everything. Uh-uh. Some of it is just mystery because God has not revealed these
yeah.
things to us.
Yeah.
What God has revealed to us is his nature and character and his desire to have relationship with
yeah.
all people. And yes, I do realize all is an absolute word, and I mean all.
All.
Is all.
Right.
But, okay, Lord, I don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I believe or even unbelieve at this point. It's
right.
just mysterious to me.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to raise a hallelujah.
I'm going to praise you anyway. Exactly. Okay, any other thoughts on that verse before we go to the chorus?
Just, you know, fear loses its hold on. When I think of,
I
you know, raising hallelujah with everything inside of me and then raising hallelujah as I watch the darkness flee, one of the things I just think it's a beautiful image of worship is in the midst of worship, when my life is connecting with God's presence in this place,
yeah.
Darkness can't exist where light is.
Mm-mm.
And when the Holy Spirit comes, when God is moving, there is light, there is not darkness.
Yes.
And all those things, all those emotions, again,
yeah.
absolute word.
Yeah,
they flee.
Yeah,
they don't just melt away.
Uh-huh.
They run away.
They run away.
Yeah,
I love that. Well, and this whole idea of fear having a hold on us. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the word stronghold lately,
uh-huh.
and how God can crumble the strongholds in our life. And I honestly believe that's what He's going to be doing as He continues to move among us. Is that the strongholds that we have allowed to have grip on us that have
right.
kept us bound up? I believe He's going to be breaking those. And fear is one of those things. There are so many of those things that we allow to have a hold on us, and it keeps us from being the people that God wants us to be. And so I'm excited about seeing Him break those strongholds.
I'm excited about Him breaking those strongholds in my life.
Yeah, me too.
In ministry and the things that we're doing.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's very cool. Okay, so as we look at the chorus.
Yeah, go to the chorus.
Ooh, I love the chorus. Okay, so then it says, I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're going to hear my praises roar. up from the ashes, hope will arise. And then our favorite line,
death is defeated.
The king is alive. I love that chorus. Yes. Talk to me about it.
Oh wow. I get to go first.
You get to go first, again.
Just, you know, remember, people, this is not being written as a pious attitude of, oh, God is all sunshine, daisies, and an occasional unicorn, which is mysterious. You know, this is written, this is pouring out of somebody who is watching the son of one of probably their best friends, or at least a very close friend, die. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know, get much stormier than that.
No.
But in the middle of the storm, I'm still going to praise. It's not enough to praise God just when things are good and our emotions are right. We have to praise God in the middle of the storm. And in this sense, and they're saying, and it's faith is rising up in me. It's not just going to be a little squeak. It's going it's going to get louder and louder and louder, because as I sing and as I worship and as I am giving to God what God deserves and only God is worthy of, it's going to grow stronger within me.
Don't you love that? And don't you love the idea, too, that the storm, like what they're saying here is, in the middle of the storm, that louder and louder you're going to hear my praises roar. It doesn't say, and you're going to hear the storm get quieter.
Yeah.
No, the storm is probably going to stay, but the fact of the matter is we praise God over that. We praise him louder than that. It says, louder than my unbelief.
Right. It actually reminds me of a scene from the movie Forrest Gump. It's one of my favorite scenes where Lieutenant Dan, you know, is up on the mast of the ship in the middle of this hurricane.
Yes.
And it's, come on, God, is that all you got? Because he's mad at God. He thinks God's doing all this.
Right.
But through, you know, the story of the movie is he comes to peace with God by being louder in the middle of that storm.
Yeah, it's so good. And, you know, this idea about coming up from the ashes, hope will arise. When you think about Isaiah and what he told the people of Israel, what God was saying through him about he will give us beauty for ashes and strength for the despair that we have. And the fact that, like you said just a minute ago, he doesn't just make things all roses and sunshine. He takes that which is ugly and disgusting and used for nothing, like ashes, and he makes something beautiful out of it.
Right.
Out of that comes the hope for our salvation.
Yeah, a flower growing in a crack in a sidewalk.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Those kind of things.
Exactly. I just love it. So good. What other thoughts do you have
for
us
today? Well, and again, the last line, and this is the foundation of all that we believe.
Yes.
It is the hope that we cling to. Is death has been defeated.
Yeah.
I mean, again, remember, folks, this is a song written because they're watching a little boy die, and they're looking at that, and they're affirming death is defeated.
Yeah,
the king is alive. That that even if we're convinced that this little boy is not going to be with us in the morning, because Jesus is alive, this little boy is going to be in the presence of the living God tomorrow, in the fuller presence. And, and you know, and that's what we believe about our faith. The resurrection of Jesus, the death of Jesus, where he goes down and takes the keys away from hell and death, and he defeats that, and he's alive. And that's our Easter declaration. And I'm feeling it again, Sai.
Ooh, I can feel it too. It is
quiet.
It is so good. I love it. Well, and friends, I hope that you will remember that all praise, again, I'm using an absolute word, but all praise can happen any time of the day or night. You know, what we've learned in this situation right now is that our praise and worship and our gathering as a community of faith looks a lot different. I mean, I hope we will come to the point where we never again take for granted the fact that we can be together in one place worshiping the same God in one building. But friends, he's teaching us right now that we need to be living a life of praise. We need to be raising a hallelujah in the middle of the storm, the middle of your day, the middle of the night, whenever it is. That needs to be our way of life. And I can't tell you this enough, because it just burns within my bones, that I want people to understand the life-changing transformation that comes when we do that, when we praise God in every situation, and it becomes who we are. It's not just something we do.
Right.
It is who we are.
Right. That, you know, and there's a part of the song that we're really not going to touch on where, you know, sing a little louder. It's got that call and response, which I love. That's something that gets lost in a lot of music nowadays, but I love that. And at that part of the song, what happens is to get past the lyrics, to get past the melody, but mm-hmm. to use those things as weapons, if yes. we will, is it starts soft and it just builds into that crescendo,
yeah,
louder and louder. Mm-hmm. I'm raising my hallelujah,
yeah,
despite my fear, my unbelief,
yeah,
the mystery, all that, Lord. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise
you. We're going to praise you together. Exactly.
That I also want to share just kind of a closing thought on my end.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that when we say these things, that it is somewhat instructive. And, mm-hmm. and we, for those of you listening, you need to know that before we ever record, Stephanie and I spend time in prayer,
mm-hmm.
Not wanting everybody to like us, but wanting people's hearts to get connected with mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I just think of is there may be some people that you're singing, you're trying to raise your hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
and you don't feel like God is moving,
mm-hmm.
And you don't feel like you're going to get the miracle that the Taylor family got,
mm-hmm.
And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I do want to encourage you with is when you sing, don't sing alone,
mm-hmm.
Because you can hear this and you can think, okay, I'm going to sing, I'm going to raise a hallelujah, I'm going to praise, and mm-hmm. and I think you should do those things, but there comes a time when something inside of us just begins to break, and mm-hmm. we don't feel like we can sing, and that's why the fact that friends wrote this song,
mm-hmm.
spiritual friends,
mm-hmm.
a community of faith, when you are a part of a community of faith and you cannot sing, we will sing with you.
Mm-hmm.
We will sing for you until you find words, until you find mm-hmm. voice again.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are discouraged, if you are struggling with your unbelief,
mm-hmm.
You know, your fire will burn brighter if it's with other things that are burning.
Yeah.
You have final thoughts?
I just love that. I love it. And I know a lot of you may feel kind of alone right now since we can't be together as a community of faith. But I want you to know you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely not alone. And DA and I pray for you every day. And we are also ones who will sing for you when you can't sing on your own. So just remember that. Friends, we're just glad that you're here with us. We're going to come back again next week with another song of our faith. But as you continue to listen to these songs this week, and I hope they will just pour into you and the Holy Spirit will do his good work within your heart. And we're excited to be together again. But I hope that you will also be joining us online. We've got daily devotionals on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel that come out every day and sometimes multiple times a day. So I hope that you will join us there as well, because we want to be a part of your every day so that you can be encouraged and you can remember how much God loves you. Friends, we'll look forward to seeing you back here next week. Have a beautiful day.
Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe it'll work for you. God bless.